That's another reason why I think union learning is kind of gradually burgeoning beyond and spreading out into the kind of mainstream of unions, and that's because people can see that it's actually quite radical. What we do is not the same as your traditional classroom teaching. And I quote in the pamphlet people like Ivan Illich and Paulo Freire and other sort of radical educational thinkers who've long argued for a different sort of learning, which is democratic, which is built by the members themselves, which involves people who are kind of elected almost as teachers, and that's what a union learning rep is. They're elected by their fellow workers. They're not authoritarian figures. They're people that have grown out of the union. And that's absolutely crucially important to us. That's the kind of learning that we stand for and that we champion. And we do that because it works. People learn better in that sort of model than they do from the rather traditional, old-fashioned, top-down deficit model, as people sometimes call it. In our view, people that may not have had a great education are not kind of empty vessels to be filled with knowledge, which is the kind of deficit model. On the contrary, they're people who bring to the learning their own life experiences, their own kind of awareness. They've got enormous amount of skills. You have to work with that in order to help them to gain the qualifications. And we do that, and we do it very well. I think the second reason why it's kind of taking off so much is because a lot of it chimes in with what members want. And if you ever look at some opinion polls that unions often conduct asking members, you know, which is your top issue? Is it pensions? Is it health and safety? Is it skills? Is it pay? Is it jobs? Interestingly, an awful lot of people will put personal development, often professional personal development, at the top of that list. It's up there alongside, you know, some of the really, really important issues that everyone knows and cares about, like pay and so on. But often it's even higher than pay. And that's what we do. An awful lot of our distinctive kind of union learning is about people's personal development. Yes, it's important to kind of acquire skills that will help you to do your job better, and that's what employers often care about, but it's also, at the same time, just as important that people develop their own interests and abilities, and often then they're able to perhaps move on to a better job or get promotion or even a different employer, but not a... Third point is equality. I've talked about that already, I think, but that's absolutely central to what the union vision of learning is all about. This is not something which is only for the kind of elite in a workplace. And that's been traditionally the problem with learning, that it's gone to those arguably need it least. So the vast majority of the training budget goes to people who've already got a degree, often a higher degree. And almost none of the training budget goes to the people who have least qualifications. It should be the other way around. Most of the training budget should go to people who actually don't have the original qualifications. That's what we stand for. And then perhaps another reason, a broader reason, which is sometimes difficult to articulate, is that learning is by its very nature a kind of humanising activity. It involves paying attention to people, listening, caring, talking. People have different learning styles. So it's the very opposite of this kind of authoritarian, treating people as units, human resources. It's about opening up a different style of working in the workplace. And actually, that's what good employers want too. Because all the evidence is that for the new modern knowledge economy, kind of society, workplace to work, you need much fewer hierarchies, much less authority and behaviour, much more flexible, open ways of working, and that's what we stand for. That's exactly what union learning is all about, as opposed to some other kinds of learning. So, I probably talked a bit longer than I should have, so I'll just conclude on this though. In the press coverage of Congress this week, we've been described variously as kind of dinosaurs from the past and old cart horses and so on. You've seen some of the cartoons. And yesterday, I just happened to notice, I was out in the hall there, there was a TV crew, and they were sort of looking around the hall, and they wanted to pick out people to interview. And again, if you look around the hall, you'll see a lot of people are pretty smartly dressed, you know, jacket and tie, and that. They ignored all of them, didn't want to interview them. They picked out people who were wearing scruffy T-shirts, and as they're being interviewed, if they came across with the right sort of line, you know, general strike tomorrow kind of thing, was what they wanted to hear, and fine, the interview went on. If they didn't get that line, it was quickly terminated. In other words, the press have a very, very clear story in their minds before they even walk in the door. And that's the story that you hear repeated elsewhere. So I think the kind of real dinosaurs out there are the press. They're the people who are stuck in this kind of time warp about the winter of discontent. That is not what this Congress is all about. And it's not what union learning is all about. And if you want to look at the kind of agile, flexible, interesting, dynamic, creative, cutting-edge organisations that will be creating the workplace of the future, look no further than union learning.